Bibles. Open your Bibles, Psalm 84. Thank you for all that made the meal and all the cleanup and all of that. It's just, you guys just do a great job. And so I'm thrilled. Just the fellowship, just the goodness, and delicious food. It's a highlight. I keep thinking, well, my preaching must be a little better on the first Sunday of the month. And apparently not. And so, Psalm 84, what a great chapter. We've had some rough chapters dealing with some tough things, dealing with the attacks on people. But just let's enjoy this, these 12 verses, even less than a column in my Bible. It is, I'll give you this background. It's to look at this, maybe it says in your Bible, to the chief musician. And it's a psalm for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah. Korah was a rebellious man. Remember, he led 250 men to rebel against Moses. God was not happy about that, and he said, gather together, and I'll show you who the boss is. And Korah and all of those leaders died, yet the sons of Korah, and you can go to Numbers 26, 9 through 11, not right now, not all of the descendants of Korah died. Korah and the 250 men that were with him, they did. And they were, earth swallowed them up. And so it is, but Korah and his sons, Korah died, but his sons lasted. And so this is a psalm for his sons. You got to understand it's whether, you know, the timing of this, you know, whether it's before or after, but they had a great love for the house of God. Title of my message, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And it's God's home. Let's just look at verse 1. How amiable, or how lovely, how agreeable, how wonderful, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, which would be the valley of tears, the valley of sorrow, the valley of trouble, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Isn't the whole tenor of this chapter so much more positive than having the enemy outside your door and you're calling for God's judgment and death? But this is just such an encouraging thing. The whole theme of this chapter is the tabernacle of the Lord. It's the courts of the Lord, the house of the Lord. And so, you know, it's not this building, but a church is a group of people that commit together to serve the Lord and reach that community that they're in. Not only just that community, that's their Jerusalem, but the uttermost parts of the world. Hope Baptist Church is responsible for the world. That's daunting. That sounds ridiculous, but when God gave the Great Commission, how many churches were there? One. They had a responsibility to reach the world, and so do we. But it's so I want to tell you this. The Bible would call a church a house of God, but don't get confused. It's not these walls. It's not this building. This is a blessing that we can have to meet, to be protected from the weather, to have heat and cooling, and you know, it's just a fishing boat. It's a fishing boat to reach people for Jesus Christ and to encourage God's people. I asked somebody this week, I said, well, what's the purpose of church? And they said, to learn. And I said, okay, well, maybe. Maybe that can be part of it, but it's the teaching really happens outside. But it's like a refueling station. It's a recharging station that you would be encouraged. But remember this: God establishes churches as a place where they would assemble together. Doesn't have to be a building, to worship Him, to give Him worth, to declare His worth. And it's that He's not interested in freelance Christianity. I'm telling you, you can't imagine how many people I meet that are on their own, and it's just freelance Christianity, and they've never realized, well, God has a different plan. His plan is that we would assemble together, commit together with people that eventually, the more you get to know them, they're going to get on your nerves, and you're going to have to figure out how to love them, how to get along with them, right? Isn't that the truth? That's the truth, right? The more you get to know me, I know you do, right. But it's this, I mean, you know, my wife has never gotten on my nerves, but that's kind of an exception. Is she in the nursery? Oh, there she is back there, okay. I didn't have this much fun when you were gone. So I'm bold when you're here. But it's God's plan that we're not alone. You understand this? It's I tell people this all the time, you know, husband and wife, who's the head of the home? The husband. And I mean, I tell everybody, it's because the wife is inferior. She is not as smart. That's a joke, okay? Probably. No, it's because God doesn't want chaos. And let me tell you, man, it may sound really cool to be the head of the home. A lot of accountability and responsibility comes along with that. And God says, we better treat the weaker vessel with grace and respect, or our prayers will be hindered. The same way, when the Lord said, I want you to go into all the earth and I want you to preach the gospel, it wasn't freelance. I'm so thankful for that. It is better to do things God's way. It's always good. And even though we're going to get on each other's nerves and we're going to have to forbear one another. Is that crazy in Colossians it says that we are to forbear one another? I mean, that's part of humanity. We're going to get on each other's nerves, but we need to love each other. Right? And hang in there. And if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and focus on His cause, we're going to get along a whole lot better. When I see churches, and it could be ours as well, see churches that all of a sudden they start nitpicking, they've forgotten the cause. And they've gotten their eyes on everything else but the cause of Christ and His glory and His honor. It's not about me. If you get on my nerves and you don't treat me right, well, then, you know, I need to love you. Right? And let's get along. If I get on your nerves, talk to me about it. Probably not, you know, right before the service. Okay? Just, I mention that often, right? Don't drop a bomb on me right before I'm about to preach. But I want to make it right with you. I didn't wake up this morning and say, I want to irritate these people like nobody's business. It's not how I woke up this morning. I want to preach the Word of God. I'm going to answer for every time I preach. And it's so just and it's so right. If I really understood it, I don't think I could handle it. But our God is so good. But this is all about His churches. Just look at this. Do we describe the Lord's house as lovely? Look at this. That's word amiable. It's just delightful, wonderful, beautiful, lovely. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? Do we think of the times we gather together as a beautiful thing, as a lovely thing, as a delightful thing, or as a thing that we must do? It is, I think, it's been a long time, right? I mean, I've pastored now for 12 years, Yes, 12 years. It's 12 years. And so we started the work 13 years ago, but it's 12 years. And I love coming to church. Now, there's times I'm preparing messages, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. But then God gets a hold of my heart, and I'm always glad. I love being around you guys. I'm okay if I want to make it right. There's no better place. Maybe my life is I don't know. There's no better place I'd rather be. This is lovely. You understand this. I spend more time with you than I do anybody in my family. I see you, curmudgeons, more than I get to see Elia. And a little jealous, my wife got to see, you know, Elia twice and Cliff the entire week. And I'm thrilled for her. But I love being with you. I don't want to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't want to be in Tampa, Florida. I want to be here. I enjoy you. You're good for me. It's lovely. It's not because of me. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I've told you this before. When I was 16 years old, tons changed in my life, right? So I'll tell people that haven't heard the story. So I was saved right before I was 8 years old, and, you know, kind of, I was always in trouble. And but when I turned 16, right, I was the youngest kid in my class, so I got my license 10 days after I turned 16 because all my friends were driving for 6 months and they were just rubbing it in like nobody's business. Getting your license 10 days after you turned 16 back in the day was quite an accomplishment. Today, you have your license when you're 15 and a half. You know, I mean, it's so cool. But so 10 days after I turned 16, boom, I had my own car because I had saved a ton of money, and so I was just able to drive and do everything. So I started going to church. My parents would only let me drive to church. I became super spiritual because I just drive to church because every time. I became a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night guy. And so I went to a large church, run a couple thousand minimally on Sundays. And so on Wednesdays, believe it or not, on Wednesdays, it'd be a crowd this size. A couple thousand people, it'd be a crowd this size. Now, when I would go on Wednesdays, right, I mean, I was the only teenager there, right? And this crowd would be like young people, right? It was all like gray haired, you know. So I was going on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I remember I was sitting there on Wednesday night, and all of a sudden it goes through my mind, and I go, look at all these old people. I've always had an issue with old people, right? That's why I'm struggling to become one of them. And so I looked around, I said, look at all these old people. And I love old people, especially since I'm getting knocking on that door. But I said, look at all these old people. I said, there's nobody young here. I said, I'm not coming anymore. It wasn't an audible voice, and the Lord goes, that's what I thought. It wasn't an audible voice. I knew you were coming only because you wanted to drive. And I'm like, you know what? That has nothing to do with it. Why isn't anybody else here? And he goes, oh, are you going to answer for everybody else? And he starts like, I'm having this conversation. I have no idea what the guy preached that night, right? And the Lord convinced me when I was 16 years old. He said, you know what? And that's where the SMO came from. You can be a Sunday morning only if you want to. He said, what I want is I want a servant that'll commit to me. And I remember I'm sitting in that pew. I have no idea what that guy preached. And I, by God's grace, I said, okay, I'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I never do anything right for the right reason. Do you think I had a great attitude on the next probably 10 Wednesday nights? Probably not. Because then I'd have the conversation, I'd go, well, that was a dud message, wasn't it? You know, why did I come? And the Lord goes, that's a great question. Why did you come? And I began to try to figure out, why in the world do I go to church? Am I going to church so the pastor just delivers a winner? You'll be disappointed. I go to church because it's what God told me to do. I know what he knows best. I know I'll benefit from it. And let me tell you this, he's changed my heart. There's no other place I'd rather be. I love being here. He changed my heart. My heart wasn't the heart that wanted to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, but he changed my heart. This is a lovely place for me. Let it be a lovely place for you. It'll be so good when our young people, I'm a little nervous when, you know, I look at our young people. It's like, what will you do when you are the boss? See, now's the time to make those decisions. And just you have a conversation with the Lord. Is the Lord's house lovely to you? It's what is it? It's intended to be. Then I look at this. Look at verse 2. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Do we long to find the living God in the Lord's house? Do we long to be here? This is a good thing, right? This is a good thing. I'll tell you this, I want, the Lord Jesus Christ is here specially. When we meet together, He's here specially. I've had way too many people, and I want to sense it. I want to understand it. I don't want to get callous to it. Because people will come in here and they say, something's going on in that building. It's a promise of the Lord. He said, speaking within the context of His churches, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. Jesus is already in me, and I am in Him. But He's here specially, walking through the pews. He knows what you're thinking. He's here. I love to come to church. I want to meet the living God. I'm always happy. I will tell you this, I think I got an hour or two of sleep last night. So by the time we got home from the airport and got in bed, and then, you know, it was like everything would wake me up last night, even though I was tired, right? So first, you know, I just get home and, you know, put my CPAP on. I mean, it's a mess, right? I mean, I got the skull cap, so it doesn't make my hair look weird, right? So I have a biker's cap on, then I have my CPAP, right? And kiss me, baby, right? That's what I tell her. And so I just look a mess, right? So I, you know, got the CPAP on. And then Deb opens the door and it woke me up. And normally it doesn't. I was just weird sleep schedule. You didn't make very much noise. And then, boom, the power goes off. And, you know, you got the CPAP on. You're like, you know. And so, you know, I got to get the CPAP off. And so I didn't sleep hardly at all. I feel like Nassim. And, but I'll tell you, Nassim comes in this morning and I was struggling. So I got here normal time this morning and I was just struggling. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, don't let me keep thinking about being tired today. That's what I said. Because Nassim says, are you tired? And I said, do I look tired? You know, so I'm trying to fake it. I'm so energized. You wouldn't know how little sleep I had last night. And it has nothing to do with me. It's because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I'll tell you what, there's no place like home. This is home on earth for me. And when I go to heaven, it'll be home with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best place to be. And do we want to be here? That's, again, I'm not trying to, I'm just telling you that's what the psalmist writes, and I know this. I love you guys, and I know this. So many of you believe that, and it's good. I love to be with people that we're like-minded, and you don't have to be here. If I tell you that you don't have to be here, I think you want to be. And just, you know, fight that flesh. If that flesh just wants to fight you and say, I don't want to go. Well, just eventually, you'll be glad you did. 16 years old, 43 years ago. I don't think I've hardly missed a service. I don't get sick. And I will tell you, it's the goodness of God. He changed a 16-year-old's heart in the pew. Third thing I want you to see, verse 3 and 4. Let's look at this in verse 3 and 4. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You know what I love about verse 3? You know what I think verse 3 is talking about? That in the temple, the sparrows had found a nest. The sparrows were nesting maybe in the upper portions of the temple. I think that's what it's talking about. And what it's talking about is the sparrows, God even says, yes, you have a home here. The sparrows hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. I tell people all the time, the Christians that I know serve the Lord are church rats. They're here. They're always here. They live here. I worry about some of you sometimes, right? But it's this. I know tons of people that go to church that are useless for the kingdom of God. I don't know anybody that is useful for the kingdom of God that's not dwelling in the house of the Lord. Don't let it be bondage. Remember what I preached this morning. I'm not preaching bondage this morning. I'm just telling you this. It's a refuge, and it's a blessing to those who dwell in the house of the Lord. It's a place of safety. It's a place of just, it's good. It's good. And so again, I'm just, I don't know who this message is for, right? Maybe it's just for the people that already know it. But our attendance, I'm really encouraged with our attendance on this first Sunday of the month. This is better than I'm used to seeing on a Sunday afternoon. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. And it has always worked with me, so you don't have to. Have you ever tried to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night person? 6 months. Give it 6 months. If you hate it in 6 months, stop. I've given that challenge to so many people. 99% of them never complete it. And they never are useful for the Lord. I didn't say if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that you'll be useful for the Lord. But I will tell you this, why don't you just see if dwelling in the house of the Lord and you will still be praising Him. It's a good thing. If you think I'm on an attendance drive, you know I'm not. I'm just telling you, there is so much. When the Lord established His churches, He knew what He was doing. The average person that I think is a Christian today does not have a church home. Is that crazy? You guys know this. You meet people and they give a testimony of being saved. You meet them all the time, right? It's like, do you have a church home? No. That's rough. I mean, you guys may disagree with a lot of things I say, but here's the good news is you're getting confronted by the Word of God that just might challenge you just to follow God, just to dig into His Word. I tell Pablo and Angie, I said, never believe a thing I say unless it's in the Bible. But I said, all false teachers tell you that as well. Right? But I'm just believer, it's so good. It's so good. This is the best slice of heaven. I'll open it up to our men. What's better than being just able to gather, assemble, serve, be with God's people? What's better? It's being with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be clear about that, but this sure helps us, doesn't it? And so I don't want it to be bondage to you, though. I promise I'm not preaching bondage. I'm telling you, it is. I'm so glad 42 years ago God got a hold of my heart. I'm thankful for it. And it changed my life. And it changed my life slowly. Most of you have heard all my stories. I've never done anything right for the right reason. I can be a negative guy. But God changed my heart. This is my favorite days are Sunday and Wednesday. Without exception. And it's because of the goodness of God. It's not the goodness of Steve, I promise you. This psalm I relate to. Do you? Let's look at verses 5 to 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is the Lord. Look at this. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. This is a challenge for me. This old knee stuff has been super challenging for me because it reminds me of my dependence on the Lord, and I'm not liking it. I can't wait. I mean, I'm expecting a lot from this upcoming surgery. And I'm going to do a tap dance on the Sunday following it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Is my strength in the Lord? In whose heart are the ways of them? It's whose heart are in the ways of God, in the ways of God. It says this, that if my strength is in the Lord, I can pass through the valley of tears, through the valley of sorrow, and it can be so sorrowful that it fills a well, that it fills the pools. Do you understand? I think that's the context. It says this, when my strength is in the Lord, it doesn't mean I won't have tears. It doesn't. Andrew and Jayla, I mean, I know, I bring them up. I wouldn't bring them up if they were in our service. They have shed more tears. They might be out of tears right now. But I trust that their strength is in Him, and they can fill the pools with tears, and they will make it through. Not something I can tell them right now, but I will tell you that's why it says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And part of it is because they were just church people. Again, God establishes churches so that we would reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's not internal. It's not about us. We need to love one another, and the reason why we need to love one another, this is why I'm convinced, is so that we don't get distracted from the real cause and the cause of Jesus Christ. Because if we start bickering, we'll forget about our cause. God establishes churches to reach the world. We can't forget that. Blessed is the man whose strength is the Lord. We go from strength to strength. And if you think the context is leaving the Lord's church, it's not. It's going to help me. Who am I going to turn to when I have trouble? It's you all. I don't have anybody else. You're it. I mean, maybe I need to talk to my kids more often. I know that. So Peru, you know, my daughter's boyfriend, he goes, "Have you called Abby recently?" And I go, "Are you saved?" No, I don't say that, but that's what I want to do. And he goes, "Have you called Abby recently?" And I need to. So he told me, she's had a bad stomach virus. And so I texted her. You know, I see my mom once a month. I have breakfast with her. I have it with her. I think it's this Tuesday. No, maybe it's next Tuesday. Is it this Tuesday? I don't know. It's next Tuesday, right? And I don't even know what day it is half the time. It's this Tuesday. But I tell my mom all the time, "Hey, you want to see me more? Come to Hope Baptist Church." Because, you know, she goes to a Sunday morning only church. And I said, "Come Sunday night and Wednesday night." She said, "Oh, you know, she's 80-something, 81 to 80-something." That's so disrespectful. She's 81. And I said, "Hey, we'll get a ride for you." I remove excuses. People give me excuses, I remove them. You say, "Well, what would the ride be?" I have no idea. But if we get a ride for her, you want to be here? I love my mom. But you know who I'm going to turn to for help? You guys. It is, you're the strength in the Lord. You help me. You hold me accountable. This is God's plan. I want you to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. He says in verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. He says, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." You understand, it's one day in serving the Lord is better than 1,000 days not. Again, it's not about church attendance, is it? One day in serving the Lord. That's what, when you're in the courts, you're serving the Lord, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Because here's the option. We're either going to serve the Lord or we're going to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Those are the two options. When we choose to do something else, it's normally not godliness. No better place than the house of God. "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. 1,000 days is 3 years. One day of service is better than 1,000 days not serving the Lord. Look at verse 11. "The Lord is all we need." He said, "The Lord is a sun and a shield." We get life from the sun. We get light from the sun. We get energy from the sun. We get sustenance from the sun. But he's also our shield. He is all we need. The Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will take care of everything. Put all your eggs in one basket. Jesus Christ. Get out of politics. I don't think we have many people in our church that are deep into politics. The reason I don't think so is you see anger, depression, all the emotions, but I'm just telling you, put all your eggs in one basket, and that's God. Here's what I love. President can change. Our mission doesn't. Somebody could take over the United States of America, and our mission doesn't change. My wife can pass away, and that would be devastating to me. I don't know if I could pastor. But my mission doesn't change. You understand that? My mission doesn't change. Everything in my life can change, but my mission doesn't. Isn't that beautiful about the Lord Jesus Christ? He keeps it so simple. Will you serve me? Will you tell others about me? Will you declare the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what life is all about. Glorifying Him. Just talk about how good He is. If we really had this in us in Psalm 84, we would not be able to be quiet. That's the key to life is, oh God, give me what this psalmist has. Look at verse 11. You got to love this. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Whew, understand this. We've got a lot of good dads in our room. You want to bless your kids? I love this, Anthony. Anthony was talking to me, right? And so I don't know what kind of mom you had, but I love this, that you love your mom. You feel in your heart, you know, you feel a need to honor and bless your mother, right? Now that's tough when they're asking for your wallet a lot, right? What I love is this, you're struggling figuring out how to balance all that. Balance a budget. But you know this, you love your mom. And don't let the devil try to put a wedge in your heart to say whether she was a terrible mom, a great mom, whatever. She's your mom. But I want to tell you this, God is so much better than the best dad, the best mom. And He says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you follow the Lord, He will bless you. That doesn't mean you won't suffer. Suffering is one of the greatest honors that God could give us. Because you're going to hear me on Easter Sunday morning that the greatest moment of God's glory was the greatest moment of His suffering. I think I'm going to prove that to you scripturally. The greatest moment of God's glory was the greatest moment of His suffering. So Jesus says, if the master will suffer, so will his servants. So if you take that same example, you would say this. So Kelvin, what would be the greatest moment of my glory if I'm going to be like Jesus Christ? My greatest moment of suffering. Because Jesus' greatest moment of glory was when He was suffering on the cross. If I want to glorify God in the greatest way possible, I should expect to suffer. But no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. This is good. Just figure out what God wants and just say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to obey. I had no idea what committing to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night meant in my life. It's kept me from a lot of things. I will tell you this story about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I worked at McDonald's. You know how much they made at McDonald's? And this is so, did I ever tell you the story at McDonald's? And I'll be finished, but this is, did I ever tell you the story at McDonald's? We used to have paper hats, right? Nobody told me you're supposed to get a new paper hat every day. I'd work there like a month and a half, and I bring my paper hat in, right? Put my paper hat on, and they go, where'd you get your paper hat? I go, I brought it with me. They go, how long have you had that hat? And I go, since I started working here. And so they made fun of me, but I told him this. I told him this when I started working at McDonald's because I was 16 years old. I told him, I said, I'm not working Sundays. Can't work Sundays. Can't work Sundays. You know what they told me? First week they had me scheduled. What they had me scheduled for? Sunday. I said, I told you I can't work Sundays. So I'd already had my own lawn business. So I was just greedy, just, you know, filling up hours at McDonald's. And I told him, I said, I told you I can't work Sundays. They said, you don't come this Sunday, you won't have a job. I said, I won't be here this Sunday. I promise you that. They said, you won't have a job. You know how desperate McDonald's is? They did not fire me. I'm going to go back and work at McDonald's just for the fun of it. And I'm just going to be like, hey, how you doing? All right. I'm not working Sundays, Wednesday night, and maybe Thursday afternoon. I'm not sure. They're desperate. Look, I'm just telling you, it's they're going to do that. I remember I got my master's degree, and here's what they told me. Got my master's degree because Procter & Gamble paid for it. I said I got it for three reasons. Procter & Gamble paid for it, Procter & Gamble paid for it, Procter & Gamble paid for it. And my wife was going to school two nights a week so that I could do something useful. They told me, they said, oh, we have a lockstep program. They said, you have to go to class on Wednesday because I was making a stink. I said, I can't go to class on Wednesday. They said, oh, you have to. Mm-hmm. Right? So I signed up for it. and I de-locked. What I figured out is, I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to go into the system and schedule a different class. I never knew. And so, you know what? I told my wife this. I said, I won't get my master's degree if I have to miss church. I don't care that much about it, and I'm just telling you this. They'll all test you, and they'll all mess with you, and they'll all say, oh, you have to do this. And you know what? Then if you have to do that, then say, okay, I'm not missing church. God had worked on my heart so much, and I'm telling you, I'm not a great guy for that. I'll tell you this. I'm so thankful. Because you know what? If I'd have found an excuse for my master's degree, I would have found an excuse for this. I would have found an excuse for that. I would have found an excuse for this. And I would have just said, you know what? Sunday morning and Sunday night is just fine. And I would have been talking like I hear people going like, why do I have to come on Wednesday night? You know, I'll tell you. But I'm so glad that God said, no excuses, Steve. You know, I needed a master's degree like I needed a hole in the head. You know that? You know how useful it was? Dumb. You know how much that helped me learn? Dumb, right? Okay, I got a piece of paper. Makes me a better preacher. It doesn't make me a better preacher at all. In fact, it probably makes me a worse one. I'm just telling you, he's all we need, and he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. I'm not standing here telling you I've walked uprightly. I will tell you, God has not withheld anything from me because he loves me and because of his son, Jesus Christ. I will tell you, I'm a pathetic example of what it is to walk with Christ, but boy, is God way better than I deserve. I want to help you understand that. I didn't come to preach and pat myself on the back. I will just tell you this. If you don't commit in your heart, you won't do it. But you'll never regret it. And here's what it says in verse 12, and we'll finish. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You'll never regret trusting in the Lord. One of the most beautiful things is when you preach, I love watching people's head go, that's all right. Love to see people that I know you've gone through hardships, difficulty, trouble, where you could have responded and said, why me? Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. You'll never regret it. Here's the key. This is it. I know this. There's no place like home. That was the title of the message. It's just, I tell people all the time, we think we're smarter than God. You think you can forsake the assembling of God's people together and you're going to be useful for the kingdom? I haven't seen it. You think you can just ignore some clear guidance in God's word and you think you'll be useful for the kingdom? Doesn't happen. But when we just take baby steps of just simple obedience, right? I don't think I could have testified for you the usefulness of just going to church until I was probably in my 40s. But I see it. And it wasn't just about sitting. Here's what I did. Final thing. It's not about sitting. Here's what I did. When I went to church and they said they needed help, I just started raising my hand and I just started getting involved. I started that when I was 16 years old. And you go to places you'd never imagine. When I was 19 years old, they had me leading the youth group. 125 teens I had never taught before, but they said, it's just, we need you for a couple weeks. 2.5 years later, and they should have had me teach, right? I mean, I was dating Deb at the time, right? But I was the same age as all of the students. Be like, oh, wow. No, I wasn't doing that, Deb. But it is, and I want to tell you this. Do you know how I taught the Bible back when I was 19 years old? So this, they shouldn't have had me, but I would read, how many of you have ever heard of Chuck Swindoll? I would read his books. I can tell you the names of the books, Strengthening Your Grip. I could read Chuck Swindoll's chapters, and I could perform that chapter better than Chuck. I could tell his stories as though they were mine. You know what that is? Terrible. But God used it. He ultimately turned my heart, and he said, oh, you can teach. But do you know the Bible? I was teaching the Bible and I didn't know it. And God just, He put me in that, and then He humbled me, and then He motivated me. Just get involved. Serve the Lord. This is the closest thing to heaven, this side of heaven. And I know. It ain't all it's cracked up to be, right? When we finally get there without this carcass, without this flesh, it will be glorious. But there's no place like home. Let's pray. Father,